You're about to enter a contagious disease ward. Please be as quiet as possible. Keep your arms at your side. Keep your distance from the patients at all times. Do not touch anything. Now, follow me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Here's next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
We sincerely apologize for any statement that may have offended any of you.
These people are members of a community that care about where they live. So what I hear when I'm being yelled at is people caring loudly at me.
And now,
next, the FBI. In color.
The FBI!
No!
Our feature presentation.
Aw, Nopey, come on. Why does Nopey have to rain on all my parades? Hey, party people, it is Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can give us a call to be on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. There's a toll-free number just for that at 1-800-520-1067. I get nervous when Psycho Mike seems in a good mood. What's going on today, Lisa?
I know, Mike, what?
He seems very happy. Is there a new lady in his life?
No. It's all fake. I'm not really that happy. But
you don't normally fake it. I mean, I come in, I say, how are you? And you go, fine. And today you're like, I'm excellent.
Oh. I'm fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, there was
Did
a
you get some sleep?
No. No. Actually, I got very little. Maybe I'm just goofy from lack of sleep.
That
but
happens.
There was a super hot chick on Loveline last night, if that helped.
That could have been it.
Bianca Kylik from the show Rules of Engagement. And she is really attractive. She's really attractive, and it didn't bother me any that she seemed to hate me, but oh well. What are you going to do?
Well, so she's smart, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just good taste. Mike took the job because he gets to meet a lot of hot chicks. That's why he's the host of Love Line.
Yeah, that show has changed dramatically since joined up.
And although the only reason they ever agree to come in is because they have the hots for Dr. Drew, they get there and really are reminded that he's married, and then Mike is hoping for, you know, he'll be fallout.
That's totally true.
Collateral damage.
All the girls that come on the show that are young and hot and attractive and really get me going all ask to take a personal picture with Dr. Drew after the show. Not one of them has said, hey, do you mind taking a picture with me? But every single one of them will ask, you know, Anderson or Tyler or someone else on the staff, can I take a picture with Dr. Drew?
Well, Dr. Drew's an actual celebrity, though. No offense to you, but I mean, he's a guy that people have known and listened to and seen on the television for years and years and years. So they're excited to meet him.
Sure, and it's no dent on my ego because of that. You realize that the guy's, you know, not only smart.
He's put in the work.
Handsome, he's famous, and he's, you know, he's earned it. But it's... It doesn't do my, like, poontang wrangling any good.
No, that's true. By the way, are you still playing with poontang wrangling? Because I hear they're good.
You know, I had to give them up. You know, they were too advanced for me, musically. I couldn't hold up.
I wanted to mention one other thing, and that's only because I still am continuing to get so many emails and also being hit up on the Twitter with people who are still furious that we had a psychic on the air the other day, Shar Margolis.
Why? We had somebody else. Oh, what's her name?
Yes.
I can't think of her name.
We've done it. Susan Miller. We've had plenty, yeah.
Yeah, but what's the big deal?
There are people who hate psychics. There are people who think that the psychics are there, obviously cold reading, lying, taking advantage of, preying on people in their emotional moments. To which I say it's voluntary entertainment for people who choose to pursue it. Nobody's forcing anybody to talk to a psychic. And if that's how they want to spend their time, and even if that's how they want to go to a live event and spend their money, it's no different than deciding to go down to the casino and spend your money because that's what you want to do for entertainment.
That's true,
or
too.
Deciding you want to go to church because that's what you choose to believe. It's pretty individual. I mean, people pretty much know what they're getting when they go into it.
And, you know, I had this discussion off the air with a friend the other day because he's very skeptical of psychics. And I don't know how I feel about it either. But I said, you know, my sense of it is she absolutely believes it, number one. And two, really is in it to help people. And three, I think does give people comfort. Whether you believe that comfort is real or not, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but the argument a lot of skeptics make is that false hope?
She's not giving what kind of hope that when you die, you will join a loved one. Oh, they They never wake up after they die, no, so they're disappointed.
And I don't know this lady's work in particular, but other kind of psychics or mediums that I've seen on TV, when they say, hey, this life decision you've been thinking about making, your father in heaven tells me it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that can be dangerous because her
also,
father in heaven's not telling her to make that decision. You know, it's just a way of making her comfortable. And,
so but that's says also you.
No different, really, no different than go to the Bible to get a decision.
Right.
To use that as guidance, which may or may not be good advice in your situation, but that's what people do. People choose what they are going to believe in. And to me, it's no harm, no foul. But I was so fascinated how angry so many people were that we gave her a microphone.
I'm on your side in that it's harmless, and if it's something you choose to be into, that's your choice. But I know that a lot of people out there are like Lisa May said, they get really upset about it because it's
totally. And by the way, and I've seen the shows, the Penn and Teller and other shows on the cold reading, and whether it's a technique that she has or not to guess people's names, I know I couldn't do it, and it's still pretty impressive to see her pull letters out of out of the ether and have them generally be right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how she does. It's like watching a magic trick for me. That's what I find entertaining about it. All right. Anyway, so that happened.
Well, hi out there. Welcome to
the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now, the world famous K-Rock.
Epicenter 2010 is happening this weekend. It's one of the biggest concerts anywhere in America all year long. And it's going to be at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, California. Listen to this lineup, Lisa May. Okay. Eminem is going to be there. You know how few shows he's doing this year. Papa Roach, House of Pain, The Crash Kings, Bush, Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, Against Me, Suicidal Tendencies. I mean, the list is just crazy. It goes on and on. And, of course, any opportunity you have to see the great band Kiss, you got to take up. You got to take that up. And, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Gene Simmons has joined us. Founder of the band, bass player, occasional lead singer. Gene, how are you, man?
I've never been better. I'm very wealthy. I'm very handsome. And I'm very talented.
You are well known for your legendary live stage shows. And it is very rarely do you play a festival. Very rarely do we put you on a bill with 200 other bands. What's going on?
Well, the reason that we don't often play with other bands is because we embarrass them.
Oh, really?
Because you're so good?
Yes. Yes, it's true. But we figure that we should every once in a while tip our caps to the young folks who are trying to make it into the music industry and show them how it should be done.
Okay. Now, it turns out, Gene, that you're a phenomenal businessman and entertainer, but you also are something of a musical savant. You know everything there is to know about the bands that you're playing on the bill with this weekend.
There's three things that Gene Simmons knows everything about.
Okay.
The music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How to make a dollar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish faith.
Oh, okay.
It's true.
Not even satisfying the ladies? I thought that would be on that list.
Me
somewhere.
Too.
that is something that I don't really know much about. It just comes naturally.
Oh,
you understand
I see.
That? When I it's when I get into a romantic situation like I have been with Lisa May, it's just something takes over me.
We
and next thing I know, I wake up and there's a woman torn in half.
We haven't really ever been.
You look fantastic. You look beautiful.
Thank you, Gene.
Okay, try to keep your attention away from Lisa if you can. I know it's difficult for you because you're a ladies' man, but we do want to focus on the music right now. So 1-800-520-1067. Any trivia question about any of the bands on the bill, let's see if you can stump Gene Simmons.
Can you stump Gene Simmons? Simmons, now.
You know, speaking of stumps, Lisa May, there's a stump to a mighty oak tree right here.
All right.
Thank you, G. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Susan. If you are able to stump Gene Simmons, you will go into the drawing to win tickets and backstage passes for both days this weekend of the Epicenter 2010. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Gene, I hope you're thinking this morning. Which two members of 30 Seconds to Mars are related?
Ooh.
Two members of 30 Seconds to Mars. It's Angus Young and his brother, Malcolm. And speaking of them, I was at the Hyatt Regency in 1977, Lisa May. And I ended up with two Thai midgets.
Okay.
Pushing hot dogs through donuts.
Okay, you're going off on a tangent. You're thinking of AC/DC. Those are not the members of 30 Seconds to Mars.
Are you sure?
Brothers. Susan, tell Gene what answer you were looking for.
Oh, the answer is the lead singer, Jared Leto, and his brother, the drummer, is Shannon.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong?
No, Susan is absolutely right. So we're going to put you on hold. Susan, you are in the drawing. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Susan, would you like to be made airtight?
Okay, that's that.
No,
this isn't for you to meet women. That's not why we.
All right.
Let's try Rob, line one. He's got a question about the great Blink 182, another huge draw at Epicenter 2010. Hi, Rob. You're on the air. Stump Gene Simmons. Good luck.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Gene?
Hello.
Yes, hi. So I want to know, do you know what Travis Barker's middle name is?
Hot Carl. Lisa May, speaking of Hot Carl, I've got a present for you right here.
Look, I'm removing
my pants.
Rob, is it Hot Carl?
No, it's not. It's actually Landon.
Okay,
you are in
the drawing, then. Thank you very much. Let's take another Blink question on line three. Shane is going to join us. Hi, Shane. Welcome to the Kevin Mead Show. Stump Gene, good luck.
Hi, what was Blink 182's
Blumpkin. Lisa May, speaking of Blumpkin, I've got a present for you right here.
At least
you
let him answer.
Hear the question.
Let him ask the question, Gene.
That's how good I am. Blumpkin.
Say it again, now, Shane.
What is Blumpkin?
What was Blink 182's band name before they were Blink 182?
Is it Blumpkin?
No.
No, what's the answer, Shane?
It was just Blink.
Just Blink. There's another band called Blink. So that's all right, hang on. You are also...
You know, Lisa May, speaking of blinking, does your brown eye blink?
Okay.
That is so inappropriate.
You have brown eyes, am I correct? Wait.
Oh. Is that what you meant?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Let's try...
You have a dirty mind.
Let's try Rich on line two, another legendary all-time band that's going to be playing episode of 2010 is what Rich's question about. You're on with Gene Simmons. Good luck.
Rich?
Yes, Rich. Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's Suicidal Tendencies' first record?
Their first album was called what, Gene Simmons?
Labia.
No, why would you think it would be called Labia? It's a terrible
I believe
album
actually
title.
It was shortened from Auburn Frosted Labia, Lisa May. Speaking of it.
No, okay. Gene.
Rich, is it Labia?
No, it is Suicidal Tendencies.
Suicidal Tendencies.
Well, that's dumb. Okay. Why would you self-title your first album?
All right. Lisa May, you're going to have to do a drawing of all the folks who have just stumped Gene Simmons. Who wins tickets and backstage passes for this weekend's Epicenter 2010?
Our winner is Shane.
Yay!
Shane, congratulations, man. You're going to see Gene Simmons and Kiss and all the other bands this weekend. Way to go, dude.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Have a fantastic time.
You're welcome.
Mr. Simmons.
Lisa May, would you like to get some lunch? Perhaps some hot lunch?
Yeah. I'll do that with you,
Gene. Oh, good.
Kevin and Bean.
K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean.
106.77.
Right now, a special edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that meet your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Today, kids, we're focusing on the stars of tomorrow. We have three very different entertainers who are harnessing the power of the internet to be able to get their message out there. And this is, and I've said this before in this program before, this is the amazing thing about the internet is you don't have to now go out and be found by a talent scout or be signed to a record label or anything like that. You can get your stuff out there to millions of people just with a laptop, just sit in your bedroom. And that's what a lot of these entertainers have done. We're going to introduce you to Kenan Cahill first. Mike, you've seen this guy. How old is he? He looks like he could be anywhere from 12 to 20. I can't tell what
his deal
is.
I think he could even be older than that. He could be up in like my age, but it has some weird like debilitating disease that ages him or keeps him young.
Not.
Yeah, he has a very unique look, and that's why I don't know. I can't really tell. He has, like you said, Bean, he's got a very unique look that he could be really a kid or an old man.
I don't know what's going on with Kenan Cahill, but he does love to sing. Now, a lot of his videos are him lip sync, of him just sitting, he just puts the little iPod headphones on, and he just sits there in front of his computer, and he'll sing to a Lady Gaga song. And I'm thinking, why would somebody upload that and think that anybody else would be interested in seeing that? But the guy gets tons of hits. Sometimes he actually sings for himself, too. Here's a little bit of Kenan Cahill, and you can see this at KevinAndBean.com in the Internet Roundup, doing the song Down from Jay Sean featuring Lil Wayne. Listen up.
You be my only... No need to worry, baby, are you down, 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 down?
Now, he's terrible, and that's the type of thing that people have always done, which is sing along to their favorite music. I don't know why he feels like he needs to upload that to the World Wide Web.
I don't know, but we watched him lip sync some stuff, and he was awesome. He's really funny.
All right. Can he sing, though? Here's Kenan again doing a little bit of that all-time classic. And boy, when was the last time you felt the need to hear this song, We Are the World?
That's right, big family. That's the truth. Love is all we need of the world. We are the children.
Okay. He doesn't really sound like he's trying to be. But anyway, you can check him out on the Internet Roundup. Now, here's Majella ZZ Diamond. Now, I don't know what her deal is, but she's in the grand tradition of the woman we introduced you to a few weeks ago who was doing the girl, come and show me your vagina, that girl.
Oh, that's a classic.
All of her songs sound just like that. This one is called Tickle My Vagina. There's definitely a vagina theme going on. Tickle My Vagina, Don't Have Sex With Bearded Men, because you know what that can feel like. Here's Majella, see what you think.
I don't have sex with bearded men. They tickle my vagina. They tickle me with their beard. I don't have sex with bearded men. I don't have sex with bearded men. They tickle my vagina. They tickle me with their beard.
She's got quite a fan club on the internet, too, because she's young and she's fairly attractive. So you start uploading videos and you're a young woman, all of a sudden you're going to get fans from all over the world. And she certainly has. Majella ZZ Diamond is her name. Here's one more, again, sticking with the vagina theme.
Men are stupid. I don't even respect them. Oh, men are good for money, sex, and vagina. Oh, oh, oh. I'm going to show you my genitalia. Oh, oh, oh. Come and see my vagina. I want to see your penis.
What's going on? What's going on?
I'd buy that song. That's awesome.
And finally, on this special edition of the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup, we want to introduce you to the white Armenian comedian, is how I think of him. His name is Daniel Songer. And I don't know what's going on with Mr. Songer, but he is about the most prolific entertainer that I've seen on YouTube in a long time. He's got about, no joke, 150 different videos of him doing stand-up comedy.
Wow, really?
150. I'm not joking. Think how much material that is. Never in front of an audience or anything like that. It's usually he's just out in his backyard or out in his driveway or something like that, and he just sets up a camera and he does an act as if he's standing up on stage. And maybe he's hoping to get discovered. I don't know why he just didn't go on America's Got Talent or something like that. But here's an introduction to Daniel Songer.
Hi, my name's Daniel Songer. I am a singer, songwriter, poet. I have written a couple of screenplays, artistic dancer, and now I'm a comedian. Hey, I was out in my backyard drilling, and I struck oil. It was a gusher. I found out later that the gas station next door lost all their oil. Hey, you know how you're traveling down a road and all you see is construction signs, construction barrels, detour signs, and you get down to the end of it and there's nothing going on. Well, this is how it goes.
Hello, Matt. We just got 3,000 construction barrels in. What do you want us to do with them? We'll take them and put them on I-75 for 3 miles. Leave them out there for a week until we figure out what to do with them.
Okay. And he's out of breath the entire time.
He's a big fat guy. As we've had this conversation so many times with people who want to make it in comedy, whether it's the Armenian comedian or it's Doto, have a joke, right? Otherwise you're Dane Cook. If you're just up there throwing a bunch of words out there and it's not funny, it doesn't go anywhere, there's no punchline, it's not a joke at that point. Daniel Songer is his name. Let's give him another shot. Maybe that was a bad example. Maybe he does have some A-level material that he was holding back for this next video.
Cop pulls me over and he says, "Son, you were speeding." And I'm like, "Officer, officer, I was looking in the clouds. Look, look, I was looking upside at the sky." And he looks up at the sky and he says, "Julie." And man, he starts breaking it down. "Julie in the sky with diamonds. Now pay your ticket."
Oh, no.
Anyone? Anyone?
No.
What the hell?
No.
What's the deal here?
First off, he's awesome. Secondly, I think like singers, everybody knows the person who does karaoke 3 nights a week, and they think they're as good as Celine Dion or something, but they suck. In their head, they hear good singing.
Maybe.
But this guy... I mean, I would compare him to the Armenian comedian, but you give that guy a pass because his English is not great. This guy was born here. He has a full grasp of the English language. How can he not know that's not a joke?
All right, just one more because, again, I don't want to prejudge Daniel Songer. I mean, with 150 videos, there has to be at least one joke. Maybe this is the one.
Hey, man, I was at the bar all night last night. All night long. All night, you know, and I was doing coke all night long, and I was like snorting whiskey and drinking coke, snorting whiskey and
drinking Coke. Yeah, man, I was snorting whiskey and drinking Coke, man. And I'm telling you, man, drinking Coke all night long. Whoa, man, you know.
that hurts my ears.
Keenan Cahill, Majila ZZ Diamond, and Daniel Songer. The stars of tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Check it out.
Kevin and Bean, later Roundup.
Kevin Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
Now, they're a little different from you and me, but let's remember.
Ooh.
That doesn't make them freaks. Freaks.
Kevin and Bean.
Freaks.
K-Rock. Former sports guy for the Kevin and Bean Show, co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show, Matt Money Smith on the phone. Hey, Money, yeah. What's going on, man?
Where's my bell?
Oh.
Number one. And number two, where's my money?
Season's not over yet. The Mariners could still make a dramatic comeback, buddy.
No,
you
they
know,
can't.
Look.
No, they cannot.
They can. They
can. Eliminated from our wager.
Unless everybody else in the division dies in a plane crash, and then they win the division by default. You don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess you're right, Bean. I guess I don't know. I guess that could happen.
It could happen. All right, let's talk about a couple things in the few minutes that we have here, Money. Psycho Mike's got a theory, and he wants to run it by. I don't know if this is something you've talked about on PMS, but Mike, what's up your sleeve?
Now, we all make fun of the Kardashians and how they insist on dating athletes, but, I mean, are they good luck charms for the athletes that they date? I mean, Reggie Bush had a pretty good year last year when he was dating Kim, and then as soon as she dumped him, it seems like things have gone really south for him. She picked up Miles Austin. He signs this huge deal and became one of the most talked about players in the NFL in the preseason. Dumps him. Cowboys are 0-2. And Lamar lived in the NBA as the guy who was nothing but potential. He gets with Chloe, two rings, and became one of Coach K's most talked about guys overseas recently.
Well, here's what I'll tell you, Mike. Number one, they do have incredible asses. Number two, you know, as I'm doing this college football stuff, there's a young man on the Iowa squad. You know, I'm doing a Hawkeyes game, and I was reading about him. His girlfriend had some girlfriend troubles back there in North Dakota, starting running back for a top 10 college football team, the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, and she dumps him. And what does he do? He just leaves the team, quits school, decides to go back home.
Wow, no. Really?
Can't bear the idea of not being with her. So, you know, hey, man. Football players might look invincible when they put on those plastic outfits and crash into one another, but they got feelings inside, too.
Apparently, they're human just like us.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Speaking of the Cowboys being 0-2, are they the team that's 0-2 that you are most concerned about at this point?
Well, yeah, because of the division they play in. You know, I mean, when you're in a division with the Eagles, with the Redskins, with the Giants, those are all very good football teams. And the good thing for the Cowboys is all those teams are 1-1. You know, none of them have jumped out to a 2-0 lead. But at the same time, those are quality football teams that are going to win games. And it's probably going to take at least 10, probably 11 games to win that division. And to start out in a hole, I mean, look, I know people don't like stats. They like to say, games played on the field. But, I mean, you can't ignore that 13% of teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs. That's it. So it's not a good way to get started. You know, I think when you look at the Vikings and you have a division where, you know, let me look, the Bears obviously look a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, but you figure Detroit is two wins. The Vikings are very tough at home, and that seems like something that could be overcome maybe a little bit easier than the Cowboys.
I've been very disappointed, as many have, with Brett Favre. He just doesn't seem to be on his game right now, and he's, you know, he hasn't had to come from behind wins the types of things he has been doing for so long in the NFL. Is it because he didn't have any preseason, or is it just because he's at that point in his life where he's just doing the best he can?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, you know, he's always been prone to mistakes, and that was the case against Miami. You know, they did move the ball pretty well, and he just, you know, a couple interceptions. One of those was not his fault. Percy Harvin dropped that ball in the end zone, and that led to an interception. I think camp has something to do with it. All the guys we talk to say that as much as camp sucks, you kind of need it. But right. but I think he's also missing a lot. You know, I mean, his favorite wide receiver, and Brett Favre has always been this way. He's always had one guy that he really likes a lot, and they pile up just wacky numbers. And they don't have to be big superstars. You know, that was the case in Green Bay. It was dudes we'd never heard of, Donald Driver and Robert Brooks. And then last year it was the least of the touted receivers for Minnesota, Sidney Rice. And that guy's got a hip injury, and Percy Harvin has migraines. And, you know, there's just dudes are hurt. So I think that's not all on Brett, but I do think it sucks that he doesn't go to training camp and his teammates hate him for it.
His receivers did not do him any favors in that Miami game either. There were several dropped balls that should have been have been caught.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good lip reader, and I noticed when they were dropping the balls, they were saying, like, oh, how was Hattiesburg? How was Hattiesburg while we were in Mankato? Oh, I'm sorry, I dropped that pass that you just threw me. Now, they don't like that. The players don't like that Brett gets to take off while they're sitting in man-freaking-cato with mosquitoes
exactly.
and humidity. And you know what? I mean, in all honesty, there is something to be said for developing chemistry. That you know, in those 4 weeks, you kind of figure things out and the way guys break and their patterns and how they catch the ball.
Yeah.
All right. Your thoughts on the two quarterback controversies that seem to be settled, certainly at least for this weekend, in Oakland and Philadelphia. Did the coaches make the right choices?
I'll tell you, man, it's crazy. Those things are nuts. People don't kind of – I think people watch those games and they see Michael Vick running around and throwing the ball. Oh, of course you picked Michael Vick. Well, I mean, you traded Donovan McNabb, a guy who's a borderline Hall of Famer in the offseason, because you said this young man, you know, is finally ready for his chance, Kevin Cobb, and he's going to win games and he's going to win championships for the Eagles, and then you scratch out a $12 million single-year contract for him, and all of a sudden, well, we don't want to put him out there because of Philly fans, because they're giant a-holes. And if he just makes the slightest misstep, they'll really get all over him. It'll crush his confidence for the rest of his career, so we're going to go with Vic. So that's really weird. I think it makes sense if, you know, I mean, the guy looks great. He's playing.
Is that what you would do if you were the coach?
If I like dog killers, yeah, I guess that's probably
But, I mean, look, Cobb's going to be around, right? He's a young dude. Michael Vick is a known entity, and when he's sharp, he's as good as anyone out there.
Yeah, I just, you know, quarterback is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like golf, I guess, in that it's so mental, unlike a lot of the other positions. You know, you really kind of have your head in the game, and it's a thinking man's position, although some of the guys, when you listen to him talk, you wouldn't know that. I think when you ruin confidence, and that's kind of what people are talking about, how is this guy that was told he's the future of the franchise, he gets one half behind just a crappy offensive line where he gets his head knocked off.
Right.
To prove himself, and now all of a sudden he's the backup quarterback for the rest of the year. I think it's very, it's interesting. I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably go back to Cobb, and if he struggles, just try to blame it on the concussion. Oh, he's still a little fuzzy.
I mean, Andy Reid has a right to play whoever he feels gives him the best chance of winning on a given Sunday. But why? I mean, this is an experienced coach. Why would he, the day before announcing that Vic's the starter, go into this diatribe about how he's going to stick with Cobb no matter what?
Yeah, I think because that's the right thing to do. You know, that's for the dude's confidence and for his future. If you really think he's going to be a great quarterback, that is the right thing to do. Hey, he is our guy. Yes, he went down after a half against Green Bay where they teed off on us. But you know what? They did that to Michael, and he just happened to slip away from him, and they just did it last week against the Bills, and they knocked Trent Edwards out of the game. So that's just a very good team, and he struggled, but we think he's going to be okay. And I think it's pressure, you know, from outside forces. I think, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, their owner, is a big Michael Vick guy, and I think he may have had a little bit of something to do with this as well. And, I mean, look, the guy has played great. You can't argue that he's probably the better quarterback of the two.
Right. Oakland, real quick, Gradkowski for Campbell. You agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he looked great last year. I shouldn't say great, but he definitely looked like the best quarterback on that team last year. Campbell clearly has struggled in his first six quarters. It's one thing to struggle against the Titans, who are a very good defensive team, but to do it against the freaking Rams and then watch Gradkowski come in and just clean up your mess, I think you have to. And you know what? Good for Al Davis, because that is not something he is used to doing.
You know how much it hurt me to see the Raiders win this weekend, Money. You know,
well, it's the Rams.
It hurt me bad.
They won one game last year, you know, so maybe they'll go ahead and lose the rest of them from here on out and go 1-15 for you.
Ralph Garman, you just stepped in. You got a question?
No, you guys have moved on, but I was just going to say that, you know, you have to understand the Eagles situation is that it's also conditional upon the rest of the team and what it looks like. And right now, that offensive line is porous. They've got a lot of injuries on the offensive line. They've got a brand new center who is not really that confident at the position. And if you put Cobb in there, a guy who's not a very mobile quarterback, unlike Vic, he's going to get his bell rung, and his confidence will be hurt a lot worse if he takes a shellacking all season than if he has to sit around a little bit longer and let Vic try to win some games for this team for the rest of the year.
I think that makes perfect sense, Rob. I guess the only problem I have with that is then, you know, why on Monday do you say that Cobb is your guy, Cobb is the future, because that offensive line did not change from Sunday to Monday. That's what really makes
Because Reed is an egotist, and he believes once he makes a decision that it is beyond reproach, and he's too stubborn. He sticks with it. Somebody got in his ear and said, look, we got to go with the guy who can win us the most games, because the East right now looks very winnable in the NFC.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, the Eagles did win 11 games last year, and if they think that is winnable and they can win 11 games with Michael Vick, then by all means, that's what they're going to do. I think it's just it's an interesting approach because these dudes are just so wacky in the head. And Cobb had to go through this last year of the fans hate him. Are they going to hate me because they're trading Donovan McNabb? And now this year, are the fans going to hate me because I'm going to take over for Michael Vick? This dude has just been sitting there waiting to get in. And if they think that highly of him, personally, I don't. Ralph, you've probably seen him a lot more than I have. I remember maybe a couple games, but I just don't. I can't imagine trading Donovan McNabb for what I saw from that guy.
Well, he better suck it up because this is a man's game.
Look, I am not a competitor, and I am certainly not a winner, but I would be happy to sit on that bench for $12.5 million this year with no complaints, I got to tell you. Listen, we're out of time. Matt Money Smith, co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. And what college game should we watch for you on this weekend?
I will be on the game of the week, as a matter of fact. I'm calling the Boise State-Oregon State game up in Boise,
nice.
Idaho.
Oh, fantastic.
Go
all right,
potato
Money.
Slugs.
Have a great trip. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoy it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Escucha K-Rock. Escucha Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. K-Rock.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Spence, why do you lie? Why do you sit on a throne of lies? Why is nothing that comes out of your mouth the
Welcome
truth?
Welcome to the studio, Chilean miner, Spencer
what?
Pratt.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's a perfect example. You're not a Chilean miner. You're not trapped in a Chilean mine. You're Spencer Pratt.
A quid pro quo, ergo, tooth for a tooth. I'm okay. Sarah Jessica Parker's stylist. Thank you. Good night.
That okay, makes no sense
well,
at all.
Well, listen, prepare for the war, young lady.
What war?
The Milagro Beanfield War.
Okay, that's a movie with Robert Redford. Listen, the reason we asked you
really
to come
old
in today,
one.
And I can't believe we even asked you to come back in today because you're a big waste of time, is this new video that you posted. You've got a new YouTube channel where you're posting videos because you don't have a TV show anymore. I just want to play as much as I can stand of this video. And I guess the gist of it is you've been growing your hair out and you look like a homeless guy and now you're going to shave it off with a knife or something. But let's listen to a little bit of your video and then maybe you can explain what's going on, Spencer.
Hi, I'm astronaut Spencer Pratt. And I'm here on this special day because I will be removing my flesh-colored beard in honor of things working out between my wife, Heidi Montag, and myself. We were going to have some very special teammates from some major corporations be involved, some major shaving creams, some right. major razors, but that all fell through because head executives feel that I'm off-brand.
Okay,
no,
stop
I have
right
no
there. Stop
ill
right
will.
First of all, why are the Beverly Hillbillies backing you up on banjos? What's up with that?
Because I am, in fact, a hillbilly from Beverly Hills.
No, you're not.
It's
at
true.
All.
What
do you know about what do you know about the Tet Offensive? Okay.
Second of all,
no, we were talking
I mean,
about
here.
It. I
no,
know that.
Hey, Bobby up there on your island.
That's
don't
mean.
Throw stones from your ivory tower, because I'm the green-eyed lady. I'm the brown-eyed girl. I got the eye of the tiger. That's right. Sugarloaf, Survivor, things. Van Morrison. I was Van Morrison, stylist and chiropractor in 1978.
That's not true,
recognized neckbeard technique.
Why do you say in honor of it working out with me and my wife when clearly you guys never broke up? This whole thing was yet another media sham. You've
was
never
it?
Been more together than
you don't
than
know
you are
about
now.
Emotions. Okay, but emotions between two people when they're in love. Okay, she was working on her modeling career and had a lot going on with mm-hmm. her music. I was still the mouth harp player for ELO, and there
weren't.
Was a lot of demands put on both of us, and we
so
realized
it's just a stressful time,
there's
so
a lot
apart.
More important things in this world than career.
Like what?
Like us, like Heidi, my beautiful wife,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and myself. And okay. what we can create between each other when we get together.
In terms of career.
Look, here. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lonnie? I love,
yes, it's Lonnie.
I love lollipops. And are you ready to make that kind of commitment? That's what I'm asking you.
To love okay. lollipops.
Yeah.
That's a right. tough one.
The sponsors fell through because no one's watching. No one cares about you anymore. No one wants
Whoa.
To be associated. No one's going to associate their brand with you.
People are throwing money at me left and right because
no,
they
not.
Love Spence Dog and they love what he can bring to any type of project in the art world. And I'm channeled, okay? So throw your insults. All the haters out there, keep hating. I drink up Haterade like there's no tomorrow. I've got my mentors and my spiritual guide. Arlen Specter and Sally Jesse Raphael. And they keep me together, okay?
You're just picking out random names from the news.
No, right, listen, it's a thumb war out there, buddy. And believe me, as the air hockey champion of the world, I'm ready to fight that war.
Okay. Spencer, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We got to go. See you later.
And listen, if anything were to happen to me, and I just want to say this in parting, you know.
Okay.
If anything ever were to happen to me, I would be survived by my wife, Molly Hatch.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Now, let me tell you, I personally think it's pretty cool.
Honey,
cool.
106.7 FM.
Oh, there's your music, Ralph. There it is.
Finally, it's here.
Fringe, it was a long summer for Fringe fans after that unbelievable cliffhanger at the end of last season, but it returns tonight on the Fox Network at 9 o'clock. We are always very excited to get to catch up with Olivia from the show. Actress Anna Torv joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show here. Hi, Anna. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Good morning.
And well, I have to give you congratulations because I was talking to some friends in the office about this just this morning. And there's a lot of shows, a lot of fantasy adventure shows on television that rely on a certain mythology. You can go back to X-Files and Lost and that kind of stuff. And they always seem to get murkier. But Fringe has gotten more crystal clear and the narrative, it keeps moving forward. And it really has gotten better and better as the show's progressed.
Aw, thank you. I feel that as well. You sort of, when you're working on it too, you sort of, like, we're in our third season now, and I don't know, everything, I think that as well. I sometimes get nervous when people ask me to explain the show, and then I start thinking, oh, there's quite a few plot lines that I need to put in there.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on, but it really, the show is coming more and more into focus and is getting clearer as we move along.
Yeah. I think maybe that. Good.
It is good. It's very good.
Yeah, it's got to be great. I mean, you work with such unbelievable actors on the show, and that's always, you know, fun and rewarding for you as an actor. But when you can have the kind of confidence that you must have in the writers, even when a storyline is unbelievably complex, to know that they're going to figure out a way to be able to present it on television that's also going to be entertaining, that has to give you some real freedom to not worry about that.
You do. You just kind of let it go. But, you know, it takes a minute before you kind of, we would read the scripts, going, oh, my God, I don't even understand that. And then slowly, slowly, you get sort of more relaxed with the material, too, I think. But that's, oh, God, some of the science stuff, it's just a credit to John Noble to be able to get that out and make it entertaining.
Yeah, he is so amazing. And how fun for you guys towards the end of last year, and I'm sure much of this season coming up, to get to play two different versions of yourself on the same show. That's got to be a blast.
That was such a blast. And also, I think, you know, this is our third season, and I just don't know when you get the chance to, you know, like all of a sudden fundamentally start playing with a bunch of new people, which, you know, in what I guess is kind of almost another show. It's been just a thrill. We've sort of been popping back and forth, and yeah.
Exactly. Let's try to get some new viewers on board for the premiere of season 3 tonight. I know it's a complicated plot, but essentially what you need to know going into tonight's show is, you got, there's an alternate universe, and you are unaware of the alternate Olivia, right?
Oh, no, she knows about her.
No, we are aware. We had, like, a showdown, actually. Yeah. The two Olivia at the end of last season had, like, a bit of a showdown together.
The greatest cat fight ever on television. The two Olivias going at it.
When I read that, I was so excited. I was like, really? I'm actually going to fight myself? Until it took us 2 days, and I was sort of acting to a space in the middle of the room, but yeah, that was pretty cool. So no, we are aware of the alternate world, and we're aware of the alternate people, and we sort of, at the end of last season, we went over to rescue Peter, who had gone back there, because that is actually where he's from.
Right.
We brought him back to this world, but what nobody knows at the moment, and which is where we sort of pick up, is that the alternate Olivia actually switched up, and she's headed back to this world, and our Olivia is actually stuck in the alternate universe.
Yeah, she's in a box, and that broke my heart at the end, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, broke mine too.
But now bad Olivia, or Bolivia, as we like to call her, she is now portraying you, and Walter and Peter and the rest of the gang don't realize that it's not their Olivia that they know.
That's correct.
Yes. Now, is there some sort of a master plan, a button that can be pushed or something like that, that is going to eventually either make the alternate universe disappear or kind of bring them back into synchronicity again so that there's only one universe?
Well, I think that's kind of like one of the themes of this season is that, like, what, you know, I guess whose side are you on or what is happening? Why is this, I guess, war going on? So I don't want to give anything away.
No, I understand. Well, it's all Walter's fault because he created the opening, and now we got to find a way to seal it up to keep everybody where they belong.
That's right.
Yes.
So they're all fighting their side. You know, no one's bad. It's just that they're from a different universe.
Now, Anna, I know you get the opportunity to talk to lots of Fringe fans in your travels. Do you run into a lot of them, like my man Ralph Garman here, who really thinks it's real?
You don't really think it's real. No, nobody really thinks it's real, but that's one of the. Well, that's when you know you're on a show that people are excited about, because when you do meet them, all they want to know is what's going to happen next and what happened. You know, in episode, you know, 208, this happened, and did you really mean that? So it's always fun that, you know, people are interested in the show, you know,
well,
and what's going to go.
It's a lot of shows that have some clever concepts to them, but it really is, to your credit and to Joshua's credit and John Noble's credit, that you have created such characters that we care about so much that we really get invested in the story. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. Greatly appreciated.
And this is obviously a very difficult week for TV viewers to keep everything straight, because every night there are so many returning shows and so many new shows. So we definitely wanted to have Anna on to point out that it's finally here, the return of Fringe Season 3, tonight at 9 o'clock on the Fox Network. Can't wait. It looks like it's going to be another great season. Anna, you're always welcome on the program. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We are controlling transmission.
K-Rock. Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. What about our old friend Jimmy Kimmel? What about Jimmy Kimmel,
yeah,
by the way?
What about
him? How about having the Hoff on his late night TV show on ABC last night? Jim, that must have broken your heart to see the Hoff off of Dancing with the Stars. What are you going to talk about for the next 2 months?
Yeah, that was a couple nights ago, but it really was disappointing. Have you ever had a real conversation with the Hoff?
It's not possible. Has anyone? You can't do it, Jim.
It is. It's totally impossible. And I would like to strangle whoever it was that told him he should work Hoff into every word that maybe even rhymes with it a little.
Does it piss you off, Jim?
It's very off-putting.
I saw him being interviewed immediately after the vote on Dancing with the Stars the other night, and it's almost like he couldn't wait to start screaming in that room, "The Hoff is off! The Hoff is off!" He just is obsessed with that, I guess.
I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago also, and he announced that he was appearing in Laughlin, and I said, "You mean Hoffman?" And it was as if he'd been hit by a wrecking ball. It's like, oh my God, how did I not think of that? I can see the wheels turning. I see him changing street signs in the city.
I wonder how he's going to open his show.
He is such a weird guy. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him. It's almost like he feels like people are always making fun of him, so he puts on that bizarre personality as kind of a defense mechanism.
I don't know. I don't know if it's even that complicated. I think he was just programmed. Do you remember many years ago we were on a red carpet for some stupid movie, and he pulled up and leaped out of the car as if, and this is when he'd been off the radar for quite a while, and he just leaped out of his vehicle and presented himself as if like Superman had landed,
yes,
on the red carpet.
Yes, he did. He stretched his hands out like Jesus, and it was almost like, I'm here. The party can begin.
let the festivities begin.
That's the beauty of Hasselhoff, is in his mind, he has never been off the radar. He has always been front and center.
Off the radar is what he did.
That's right, yes.
Well, it's great times on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. By the way, tonight I want to mention Zach Galifianakis, who's always hysterical, and Snooki are going to be on the program. Joaquin Phoenix tomorrow night.
Yeah, speaking of Snooki, Jim, do not invite her to the feast of San Gennaro, whatever you do. I know she's going to want to go. Do not allow her to go.
Why not?
Because that whole Guido, Guidette, Jersey Shore thing, it's just going to put, they're going to put their stink all over the feast. And you know, it's one of my favorite events of the year.
Could you think, though, I mean, is there anywhere that she would be more welcome than wandering under the tables at that feast?
My fear is her and the situation are going to have seats at your table. And it's just going to make me, put me right off my Zappoli.
You know, some of them, I have to say, believe it or not, like, you'd think they would be, because when I watch that show, I'll admit it makes me ashamed to be an Italian-American.
It's as it should.
Of course, yeah.
But they're actually, like,
nicer. I think it's. I don't know. I think it's kind of an acting, but we'll find out. I guess.
First, of course,
we'll drop her in the vat of oil that we cooked the Zeppelis in.
Perfect. There we go. That's a great idea. This Feast of San Gennaro that Ralph mentioned is something that Jimmy Kimmel and a friend came up with. What? It's got to be 9-10 years ago now.
This
right?
is our ninth year.
Okay, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. And I remember at the time when you started it, Jimmy, you said, we have this back home in New York. Why don't we have it in Los Angeles? We need to. It was something that you felt needed to be done. And the purpose of the event every year, besides just a great opportunity to party and have great food, is what? Is to raise money, essentially, right?
Yeah, to raise money for me and the kids at Jersey Shore.
Oh, that's great.
It's for local charities. My friend's place is one of them. There are a lot of very good local charities. We give money to Hollywood High School, and we give money to various food banks, and Precious Cheese gives cheese to these. And you know what? There's nothing the poor need more than cheese.
That's true.
You've often said that.
It's filling and binding, so you don't lose food that often.
It's also a great place to remember that people still play the accordion.
That's true. It's the only time of the year I do hear accordion music is at the feast.
How are you doing for celebrities? You usually honor some great Italian American. Who's got it this
good
year?
Good ones this year. Good ones.
Do we have good ones, Ralph?
Yeah, the legendary Connie Stevens, one of my favorites.
Connie Stevens, that's
she's
right.
So hot. She's so hot. She's still so hot, by the way.
Well, you know what, Bean? You should make a special trip down here to make sweet, sweet love to Connie.
Oh, if I could. If that could be guaranteed, I would get on a plane right now, Jimmy.
And you got Robert Davi, too, right?
That's right. And yeah. The band Trombone Shorty, you guys know that band?
Yes, I have their album, as
a
matter of fact.
They're going to play at the feast, and, you know, it'll be the usual assortment of Dagos.
Look, the important thing is, really, Jim, and I know it's all for charity, and you're a buddy, and Frankie Compitelli, who helps you out with it, he's a buddy, but it's the food. You got to go for the food.
That's right. The food and, of course, the
bingo.
The fake tans, yeah.
Fake tans.
And you know, we've renamed the bingo Bada Bingo this year.
So Bada Bingo! Very timely because The Sopranos is on everyone's lips this year.
And you know, the sort of shaky carny guys who run the rides, too. I enjoy that enormously.
The shakiest of all carny guys. I mean, really, the Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox of carny guys.
Yeah, I met one last year at the feast that was Jesus. He was actually dressed as Jesus, and he made you refer to him as Jesus. And
well,
he was like,
hold on a second. Let me just point out that he was dressed as Jesus, but that was not the real Jesus. Jesus has a lot of helpers, and he was one of Jesus' helpers, and that was not the actual Jesus.
That's how you explain it away to the kids.
Yeah. Let's tell people how they can come to the Feast of San Gennaro. It is kicking off, well, officially with a fancy spancy celebrity party. That's tonight, and you're
follow
gonna
the North Star, and then you find Jesus.
Bring some frankincense.
But for us plebeians, for the rest of us, it's going to be tomorrow through Sunday. The Feast of San Gennaro is right across the street from where Jimmy does his TV show down there by Highland Avenue, Highland and Hollywood, in that area. You got a whole bunch of area that's roped off.
We close up the street and bring.
And it's only $5. Is that all it costs to get in? Is $5 for the feast?
It's actually less than that, really, because if you pay the $5 admission, you can use. We give you tickets, and you can use that to get the food. But we just want to control it a little bit, so we don't have bands of street gangs roaming through the event.
All right, general admission is $5. Kids under 12 free. U.S. military receives half off opening night. Free admission all weekend.
It's half off.
That's right. All proceeds benefit the San Gennaro Foundation. You can get the details at feastofla.org. As Ralph has said, it is one of the coolest events of the year in Southern California. And something you definitely got to check out.
It's a kind of thing you don't see a lot of in Los Angeles. It's a real street party, a block party with a lot of great people and a lot of great food. And it's a great, great atmosphere. And it's great for families. If you've got kids and stuff, it's a great weekend. So all weekend long, I really highly recommend you check it out.
Thank you, Ralph. And thank you for coming every year. And it is a lot of fun. And it is a big pain in my ass. But people seem to enjoy it so much that we can never, ever end it.
No.
All right. Jimmy, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, fellas.
The world-famous K-Rock.
K-R-O-Q. The Kevin and Bean Show.
Time to welcome back to the show, as we do every Thursday, our old friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, on his way to catch a plane going to Denver tonight. Drew, is that what's going on?
I am going to Denver. I'm going to be speaking tomorrow at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts.
I can't imagine the frequent flyer miles on Dr. Drew. It's awesome. It's got to be crazy with your schedule.
I'm a 1K. It's awesome.
You're like George Clooney and up in the air. All right, real quick before you go, because we got a couple things. There's been a lot of great celebrity and celebrity rehab type items in the news. First of all, did you feel a little burned having come out a week ago or so saying that Lindsay was on the right path to straighten out her life? And then she gets then she fails a drug test.
No. I said that after she failed the drug test.
Oh, did you?
You guys got the timeline all wrong. It's just that she went on Twitter and said, look, I've got a disease. I'm a mess. I need time. Please give me some time. And I thought, boy, that is an honest statement. That's the first honest thing I've heard from her in a long time. A, she identified with the disease. B, she knows it's going to take forever. And C, she's wanting to do something about it. So I thought, oh, that's okay. Let's give her that chance. That's all I'm saying.
Ralph was saying earlier that it looks like the police are not going to recommend jail time for her for that cocaine that was in her system, and instead they're going to go the other way, which is to say this chick needs treatment.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
But I mean, that's what you've been saying all along, is this is more of a medical issue than a legal issue, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, some have asked me to write letters on her behalf and stuff, you know, that she needs treatment. I'm like, I don't know, Lindsay Lohan. It's almost comical, but that's in fact what she needs. And the judge seems fairly enlightened, and the team that's taking care of her seems like they're good and appropriate. Now she has the right kind of sort of enlightened team that understands addiction very well, and now she needs time, and we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, I was talking, you know, your old friend Adam Carolla, I was talking to yesterday, and he made an interesting point to me. He goes, you know, I've never seen a young person that's into the party scene just all of a sudden, no matter what the legal issues are, be willing to get well. And I had to agree with him. For young people, it's very difficult for them to capitulate to treatment. She's almost there. The other thing is, let's remember back 4 years ago when Lindsay and Brittany and
Paris
were sort of hitting the scene, and everyone was so concerned that they were going to be role models for our children and these kind of party girls out of control. I actually wrote my book about it, The Mirror Effect, that this was really a serious problem, and watch what will happen. Well, now we're seeing what will happen. Paris and Lindsay in jail twice. Brittany's been in a locked psychiatric ward. It's jail, prison, or death for people that have these kind of mental health issues.
But Dr. Drew, despite all the personal damage in someone like Lindsay's life and the fact that she's having trouble getting work and whatnot, does the public get to a point where they stop being willing to give chances to those people and stop caring about them if they repeatedly seem to violate the trust that we have in them to stay on the street narrow?
Look, why do we care in the first place, Bean? I mean, my God, this is just a person with a mental health issue who's struggling, and we sit in disdain and judgment, and I think that's all just the public acting out its envy of people that have, what appears to be more than we do, and in fact, they probably don't. And that's my big point, is like, let's forget it. Let it go. It's, who cares? There's other things to be concerned about.
Well, I also think a lot of it, too, is based on the celebrities' kind of reaction to it. I mean, when you've got excuses and you're filled with denial, the public doesn't really cater that too much. But a guy like Robert Downey Jr., who from the start has been open about the fact that he's battled his addictions and he just hopes he can be forgiven for it, the public took to him very well.
But not from the start, though. If you remember, he was in and out and in and out, and people were extremely disdainful of him. And he was falling on his sword again and again, but he kept ending up in court. And finally, it's the work that take these people out. I'm telling you something. You remember he went back and did that, what was the television show?
Ally
McBeal. He did Ally McBeal, and then he relapsed. I see this all the time. Celebrities and people in media need to take like a year or 2 years out. The work is so gratifying. They make so much money that they go back way prematurely. And even Tiger Woods went back too soon. You notice he's no longer talking about his treatment. And the fact is it derails the treatment completely. And they just aren't willing to do that. The work is too gratifying. They make too much money until all hell breaks loose. Robert Downey contemplated that he would never act again. That's why he got sober.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hey, Dr. J, did you see the shout-out you got on the Letterman show last night?
I heard about it. I still have trouble believing that he wasn't goofed up more than he's claiming to have been.
Let's listen. Here's Joaquin Phoenix sitting down with David Letterman talking about, of course, the last appearance that he made that was so crazy and so talked about a year and a half ago. He does shout out Dr. Drew. It's pretty funny.
You know, there's some things I feel bad about. I know, like, Dr. Drew was lost some sleep.
What was the deal on him?
He diagnosed me based on the interview.
What did he come up with?
I can't remember what it was, but he obviously cares a great deal.
Well, what did he have to say about me? I don't care about you. What did he say about me?
That's very funny. You know, there's an opening there. I may give him a call.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell him what I think about him.
But that's got to be so weird for you, Dr. Drew, because people are, and our show is guilty of it too, constantly asking for your medical opinion on patients that you haven't seen.
Right, but look, I mean, well, this is sort of what people are, I don't want to say entertained by, but fascinated with, which is, you know, there are how many channels on your cable dedicated to people commentating and speculating about political issues and economic issues? There are people that commentate on what they think they're seeing, and that's what I do in people's behavior.
Dr. Drew joins us every Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show. And don't miss Celebrity Rehab, now debuting Wednesday, December 1st on the VH1. Dr. Drew, have a great time in Denver, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock.
Rock, rock, rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of ways to contact the show. Of course, you can always email us through the website at kevinandbean.com. You can always call us during the show at 1-800-520-1067. Or you can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. If you think of something you want to share with us, even if we're not on the air 24-7, we're available to take your calls. You know, Omar was on yesterday doing the Glee cap because Glee is back for season two. And Omar's also the guy who puts the Afro line calls together for us to play on the radio. So I'm wondering if he's stacking the deck a little bit, because there seem to be quite a few callers who agree with him on Glee. I know it's an enormously popular show, but you wouldn't know it from this caller.
I just got one thing to say. Glee.
Okay, so he called, and then here's the next call.
I actually agree with Omar. Glee show. Fuck that show. Everybody in there. Everybody who watches it. This car next to me.
Okay, now here's a caller to the Kevin Bean Afro line who may not have been a big Glee fan, but once we had actor Mark Salling on, who plays Puck on the show, I think Puck turned him around.
Oh my God, I didn't think I could hate Glee any more than I do until you interviewed the actor from the show.
Wow, this must be a long hour. Oh, you have no idea.
Of course we have no idea. That's what we're freaking asking, you freaking moron. F Glee.
That might not have been his intention. You know?
No, maybe not. A lot of Glee love on the Afro line. Changing topics now. As you know, Mike hates the gays, and he figured out a way to get the Daily 10 over there on the E! Show canceled because of his...
Come on, 2.0.
Right? What, am I not accurately describing what happened?
No, you're not.
The one thing we did learn is you don't cross Adam Lambert fans, and I think that's what this call's about.
Psycho Mike, how dare you make fun of Mr. Adam Lambert? He is a national treasure, and you just don't talk about national treasures like that. Like, oh my God, I loved you. I loved you so much, and then you had to go and talk about that to Adam Lambert. You just don't talk about Adam Lambert like that. I'll tell you.
You've been getting a lot of that the last few days, have you?
Similar tone, yeah.
You put out the invitation for Mr. Lambert to join you on Loveline. No takers yet, right?
No, but we'll see. The executive producer, Ann, has been working hard trying to get in touch with his people, and hopefully that'll come around.
Okay. This is quite a contribution to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to save this. This may be a great way to start every morning.
It's morning. I'm hungry. How should I start my day? Leave the maple breakfast. Hip, hip, hooray. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Tummy, tummy, tummy. Lisa May.
Wow.
She got a little motorboating at the end there.
I like it.
She's got everything but a horn. A very controversial guest on the program back on Monday, internationally renowned psychic Shar Margolis was here, and she was talking to some of our listeners and contacting, you know, people from beyond the grave for them. Everybody seemed like they had a good time. Mm-hmm. Not everyone on the Afro line necessarily is down with Shar.
I'm seeing something with a B. B. Something with a B. Ah, bullshit. Geez, why don't you guys just book a wizard next time? It'd be just as authentic.
And one more also on Shar.
Oh, hi, Shar, the psychic. Oh, hello. Okay, is there somebody in your life with whose name? Someone starts her name? A B? A C? Okay, not really. Okay, hold on. I'm not getting it clear. Is it a C? Is there a C name? Is there a C name somewhere in your life? Yeah, I guess. Okay, who's your father? Daryl. Okay, so it's a D name. D.C., South Carolina, saying, okay, is your father dead? No. Okay, yeah, so he's not dead. How about your mom? Is your mom dead? No. Do you know anybody that's dead? I met somebody that died in a car accident once. Okay, yeah, they said hi. Oh, no, they said hi.
That's about how it went. Call us 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO.
World famous K-Rock.
In case of a nuclear attack, the protection of records.
T-shirts is essential.
You are listening to Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean.
World famous K-Rock.
Is that show still on?
Hit it, Steve. Sharktopus. Where's my music? What happened to
the
music?
Where's the music, Mike?
Hey, this time it's actually not my fault.
Mike,
you're bad.
There's a creep show, creep show with a double feature. A free cash.
Sharktopus debuts this Saturday night, September 25th at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. We couldn't be more excited about the movie because our boy Ralph Garman is in it. But, of course, the great Eric Roberts is in it also, who is always extremely entertaining to watch, and we can't wait. Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Am I on the air?
You are,
yes,
Eric. Yes, sir.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Ralph, how are you?
Eric, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Ralph, first things first.
All right.
You want to be in Sharktopus 2?
Absolutely.
Okay, then you have to play Keaton Simons. His first album is called Can You Hear Me from CBS Records. And why don't you guys play him on my favorite rock station?
Wait, is this payola that we're talking about right now? Is you do something for us if we do something for you?
Absolutely, that's what it is.
That's the way the business works, right, Eric?
But Can You Hear Me by CBS Records, Keaton Simons. You guys got to play it. It'll blow you away.
All right, we'll look into it. Well, yeah, we'll definitely check it out. Now, you guys are both in Sharktopus, but you had no scenes together.
That's
do I have that right,
true.
Gentlemen?
That's not true. We have a love scene.
Well, I think they cut that, Eric.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they cut that one out. Exactly.
Right? Yeah, they got scared of it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Eric, you're a guy who, let's face it, you don't have any trouble finding work. Whether it's The Dark Knight or The Expendables, whatever, you're in lots of great movies. Why Sharktopus? A lot of people were surprised to see you in this movie. There must have been something about it that you loved.
Everybody keeps making fun of me for this, but the only stone in my career I left unturned was Roger Corman. And you don't work for Roger for money because he doesn't pay.
Right.
It's the only stone I left unturned, so I did it. And it was really fun. One of my favorite scenes I've ever shot is when I fight Sharktopus because I fought air and they CGI him in there.
That's right.
And
nice.
It was so much fun. It was like being 8 years old again, I got to tell you.
You know, Eric, Declan O'Brien, the director of Sharktopus, when we were shooting my scene, said you did the most convincing air death that he had ever seen before. You're so impressed by what
so
you've done.
So much fun.
I can totally get what you're saying because, you know, we've had Roger Corman on the show a couple times leading up to Sharktopus, and the guy's just walking Hollywood history. It's just so much fun to be around him because he's seen and done everything. And as an actor, I'm sure you had a million great conversations with him.
No, I never had a conversation. He shut up and waved. He just waved from the dock as I drove off in a boat. He is old Hollywood. He's old B movie Hollywood, and I made a B movie for him, and it was really fun. And everybody makes fun of all the movies I make because I make a lot of bad movies, but they're all fun to watch. And Sharktopus is going to be a blast.
And you know, the nice thing about a movie like this, Eric, is that you don't have to worry about being too over the top when it comes to a creature feature like this.
No, you don't. And it was shot pretty much on a home movie camera, basically. So it's going to look like a documentary.
Half shark, half octopus, all
don't
cheese.
Don't give it away, no.
Well, I think people know that at this point. I think people understand that. Creates a whole lot of terror down in Mexico, starring Eric Roberts and Ralph Garman. We're talking about Sharktopus, which debuts Saturday night at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. Hey, Eric, I wanted to ask you this because I know your daughter, Emma, is blowing up huge right now.
Yeah.
I mean, every year she gets more popular. Does that scare you to see her becoming a big-time movie actress? Is that something you ever try to discourage her from going into your business because you've seen how tough it can be on people?
No, because she's smarter than her father, and she's and she's got her feet on the ground, and she's not interested in bad behavior. So it's all good. She's very square. So she does not take after me, and it's all good.
Well, she's enormously talented. I know that must give you a tremendous amount of pride to see some of the work that she's starting to do.
That's so nice to hear from you. Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that.
All right, one more question. Everybody's talking about with the success of The Expendables that they got to make another one. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are it's a shame, you know, because I died in the first one. So it'll have to be a prequel, not a sequel, if I'm in it. And I would love to be in it because I love working for Sly. He wrote, produced, starred, and directed. And it's kind of a well-kept secret, but he might be a genius, guys.
He might be, as may the creators of Sharktopus, too.
Yeah, good for you, Ralph.
Because I die in Sharktopus, and I think we need a prequel for that if I'm going to come back. That's the problem.
I will see to it if you play Can You Hear Me, Keaton Simon.
All right, look into that, Eric. Noted. Sharktopus, Sci-Fi Channel, Saturday night. Eric Roberts, great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much.
All my love, guys. Have a good day.
It's only good when people listen
to Kevin and Bean Show.
But if people don't listen to it, then it's no good.
K-Rock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. So what do you do tonight at 9 o'clock, Ralph? You know the new TV shows are back. Grey's Anatomy comes back. I know that doesn't matter to you.
Grey's Anatomy. I'm so excited.
Nope.
That's a big show. It's a big popular show. You got the Office at also at 9 o'clock tonight.
Uh-huh.
You got CSI featuring the Biebs at 9 o'clock tonight on CBS. Justin Bieber on CSI, premiere for the new season. All opposite Fringe on Fox.
Fringe wins. Fringe.
Pretty strong.
Fringe.
Hard to not watch The Office.
Yeah.
Watch me. Watch me not watch it and watch Fringe instead. Here's the thing, because Fringe has an ongoing storyline where things that I am deeply, deeply involved in and characters that I'm dying to see what happens next to.
Right.
So I need to watch that as quickly as possible and get that in me. Office is funny, but, you know, you can DVR The Office and watch it at your leisure and you'll get your laughs and it'll be fine. But need to know
what
happens.
But neither of them have Justin Bieber, though.
The easiest choice is for me to avoid seeing Justin Bieber on CSI.
Okay, you think he'll have the hair, or you think they'll let him use his regular hair, or they'll
make
him
comb it? Shaving his head, Bean.
No, I'm asking if he'll wear that style, or if they'll make him look like a normal human and comb his hair.
You think he's some sort of method actor who's going to change his appearance radically for his appearance on CSI?
I'm just saying that hair is ridiculous for anybody. I can't imagine they're going to let him on TV with it. That's all I'm saying. I guess we'll find out tonight. Anyway, too many damn choices on the TV tonight as the fall season begins.
You know, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got Dexter coming back this Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Eastbound and Down.
I'm already behind.
Oh, me too.
I'm so behind.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Last night I watched my Monday shows. Last night I watched House and Weeds. That's how far behind
I am. It's too much. It's too much good stuff.
And then you go,
it's AMPM,
you
know, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's too much good stuff.
You go weeks at a time with nothing to watch.
I know.
It's crazy.
Speaking of Bieber, we can't hunt down a source for this quote. We can't find any confirmation on this quote. But it's flying around the internet today. Justin Bieber's quote where he said, "I feel I'm the Kurt Cobain of my generation, but people just don't understand."
Nope.
Now, if you can find an actual interview or an actual source where this quote is coming from, please send it along.
He must be more self-aware than that.
We can find Miley Cyrus saying she doesn't listen to Justin Bieber's music. She's more of a Kurt Cobain fan. I don't know if somehow that has morphed into this quote. But if he did, in fact, say he feels like the Kurt Cobain of his generation, I have a shotgun he can borrow. That's all I'm saying.
He's got to be put down.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, he was born the year that Kurt died.
So you think his spirit was
maybe
transmuted
maybe
into his body?
Maybe he is Kurt Cobain. You ever think about that?
I did not think about that, and I will not think about that. Britney Spears, is she engaged?
No! No!
Well, In Touch magazine this week has a photo of Britney wearing what looks like a giant rock on her ring finger. That would be an indicator that she is indeed engaged to this Jason
Trawick,
her manager / boyfriend.
No.
Here's the thing. We have debated on this show many times. Britney Spears, hit it or don't hit it. And that can be debated, I think. But marry it? That's a no-brainer. That's a never, right?
You
don't do that.
You kill it before you marry it.
Well, it depends on how immoral you are, because it's a good rich quick scheme.
Right.
So if you can just put aside your personal values for some money.
There's a lot of easier ways to make money than to be married to Britney Spears. You could sell your organs. You could sign up for a snuff film. You could, rob the poor. I mean, there's more honorable ways of getting rich than marrying Britney Spears. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Chris Brown has the hots for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, lucky Kim.
Forget it, Chris. She doesn't like black dudes. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
She loves black dudes.
In Touch magazine says that he wants to date her so badly, but things are going so poorly in his attempts, that he has started hanging out with Rob Kardashian.
Oh.
In the hopes that being pals with her brother will eventually give him entree into the secret lady garden.
So let me ask Lisa May this question. Chris Brown claims to be rehabilitated. Do you ever take a chance and date a guy like that?
No.
And think you might get hit, or is he's off the possibility list for life?
He's off the list.
Really? Hit one woman and you're dead to you for life.
Yeah.
Wow, Lisa, you got strict standards.
I got to tell you, I don't think he's a mature kind of guy. I think he's kind of a rich, spoiled kid.
Okay.
And also, there's never an excuse for violence against women.
And if you do it once, come on.
Hold on now. If a guy gets blasted out of his mind drunk and, you know, slaps a girl and he says, "I would never think to do something like that in a reasonable state of mind. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." Maybe you forgive the guy. grabbing a girl by the back of her head and smashing her face into the dashboard of your Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no rehabilitation for that.
Yeah, that's too evil, right? You got too much evil inside you that could get out.
In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He's got demons, and I wouldn't blame a woman who would not be interested. However, he has given more hits than Reggie Bush was ever able to take. So,
very true. So
he's got that going for him.
Oh, my leg's broken. Take my Heisman.
He has just as many Heismans.
That's right. Just as many. Bruno Mars, number one single in the nation. Congratulations, Bruno. Just the Way You Are is the name of his single. That is his first chart topper. And
I have some of that if people are not familiar with it.
Oh,
it is a really good song.
I'd love to hear it.
Here's Bruno.
With our fingers, we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Yeah. Surprised that's as popular as it is. It doesn't sound like an automatic hit.
Beans being a jerk.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Oh, you have the actual clip. Oh,
I was putting one more tap of coffee in my coffee cup, and out of the corner of my eyes, I saw two guys come in, one with a black hoodie and one with a white hoodie. And the guy with the black hoodie said, "We want your money, everybody up front and down."
Were you hoping to play the auto-tuned version of this?
You're hoping that was
that, was that what you were hoping to get?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. You want to try again?
Sure.
Okay.
Here's I'm bagging up, cause my daddy taught me good. I'm bagging a lot of dirt, and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, my god. I'm bagging up.
I think he's derailed the whole bit now.
So much better if I went there first.
No, it's perfect.
Well, I have the real.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven.
The real. We're talking about Bruno Mars Just The Way You Are. A lot of people maybe... A lot of people maybe haven't heard it, but here's what that sounds like.
Yeah, you don't even hear the pug singing on that one. It's not even worth doing.
He doesn't care.
It's not even worth doing.
The dog singing Batman.
No, it isn't, because you don't hear the dog singing. That's what we've always told you on that stupid piece of tape you continue to play. See, that's funnier. Because that's a dog actually singing Batman. But you don't hear it with the other one.
Back to you, Ralph.
My head hurts. No, really.
What were you talking about? He got arrested or something? Or?
No. It's too late now. Doesn't matter. I was just saying, he's got the number one single in America. However, he's also got troubles because he was busted over the weekend in Las Vegas for carrying cocaine into a restroom. And I believe it was the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Of course, where else would it be? And he got ratted out by a men's room attendant, which is unacceptable, by the way.
Absolutely unacceptable.
Hey, men's room attendants, this is what you do. You hand me a towel, and I drop a couple bucks in your basket. That's a pretty good deal. You know what that the few dollars should buy? Your effing silence. So if I want to, you know, tune up a little bit in the men's room, because Vegas is hard. You're drinking a lot. You're staying up late hours. You don't have much energy. You need a little boost once in a while. If I need a little tune-up, you just keep your mouth shut and just hand me the free mint and some cheap cologne.
Amen.
It should be like a priest, right? The bathroom attendant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to go to the cops and say, oh, this guy's got cocaine in the stall. F you, bathroom attendant.
Between this and the hooker squealing on Beckham, I just feel like all the societal rules are breaking down anymore. What's going on?
There is just no honor anymore.
That's
no
right.
honor.
Can't trust a hooker or a bathroom attendant. Who can you trust?
Yeah, he's so right.
And all the altar boys squealing on the priests. Come on. What happens back there is between you two. Don't go running to mommy. Oh, the priest touched me. Come on. What happens between you and a priest is supposed to be sacrosanct. You know?
Between you guys and God.
That's
don't keep
right.
parents involved.
Priest isn't going running telling what you said in the confessional about your feelings for Justin Bieber.
That's right.
Man, what's going on in this world? I was kidding, by the way. People were writing angry emails about pedophile.
They can hear the keyboards.
That was a joke that was taken to the nth degree too, for comic effect, you see. Of course, those children should report those priests because they're heinous, heinous criminals. We good?
We cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Julio Iglesias is 67 years old today. Bean, any feelings about women he may have had previous relationships with?
I just wonder when his birthday, you know, comes around every year about this time, if he hears from all the girls he's loved before.
There we go.
Yeah!
That's it. That's one we've been waiting all day for. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, celebrates his 61st birthday. Jason Alexander from Seinfeld is 51 years old today. Britney Spears' first husband, too. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Same guy.
Chai McBride is 49 years old today. He, of course, has been in many, many TV series.
He
I
has.
Guess Boston Public, was that the name of the...
Yes,
he
was the principal.
High school drama he was in, very good in that, and now he's on Human Target over on Fox. Very entertaining gentleman. He is 49 years old today. Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record exec. He is 38 years old. And Dodger center fielder Matt Kemp for the Dodgers. How many games out are they now, Mike? I know you're a big Dodgers fan. What's their magic number?
They are mathematically eliminated from making the playoffs, Ralph.
Oh, yeah. So they haven't won their past 10 games in a row? And
no, they are, not,
the
they are not the hottest team in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies.
No, I was just curious. I'm really into baseball now.
Yeah.
I know you. You love it.
I love it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks a lot, Ralph. Tomorrow, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I know it's been action-packed every day this week, but you're not going to believe the program we have for you tomorrow. First of all, Phil Kogan, who's always a phenomenal guest, the host of the Amazing Race.
That's right, brother.
On the program tomorrow. That's Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Phil Kogan. This is the stand-up comedian guy who also does the UFC announcing. That's who we're talking about.
I think that's Joe Rogan.
Oh, now maybe I'm confused, too. Yeah. Also, the great Travis Barker from Blink 182 will be joining us. As you know, he is on the bill for Epicenter 2010, so we'll be talking to Travis tomorrow. Actor Jason Schwartzman.
Just
had him in for the Scott Pilgrim movie. Now his Bored to Death TV show is coming back on the air.
That's right, Jet Li.
No, it's Jason Statham you're thinking of. We need Bored to Death, though. I've been missing that show, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
Great show. He is bringing along his co-star and friend Ted Danson with him from Bored to Death.
No way.
Also on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show. How about that? Our friend Mike Henry will be on talking about the return of the Cleveland show this weekend. LaQuisha will be on doing the Jersey Shore recap for us. We got more tickets for the Epicenter that you can win. And, of course, Friday means the movie beat. Friday also means 50-50 chance of Adam Carolla. I think tomorrow maybe not an Adam Carolla day.
I don't believe he's coming in, no.
But it is a hell of a Friday, so we'll see you back here tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Kevin and Bean.
The world-famous K-Rock.
Girl, holla!